even unto the end of the world. The Bible said, what a blessing. What a blessing. All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and go with me. We've been in the Old Testament. Seemed like for about a year, about every message I preached was out of the New Testament. And we've been in the Old Testament for many months. And so tonight, I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to start a new Wednesday night series and try to get started tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 in your Bible. And when you get there, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. The Bible says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and of all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I love this phrase in verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And that'll be all the reading that we'll read. You can keep your Bible open. We will look at some other verses, but we'll stay right here in this chapter. And I want to preach on the subject, what matters most. To a Christian, what matters most? And Paul is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has penned these words addressing the church at Corinth. And they were sort of off base. They were seeking these gifts and these talents and the speaking in tongues and prophesying and things of that nature. And Paul had a lot to say about that. And even today, thousands of years later, men are still confused on these subjects. There's whole denominations who still seek after certain gifts and prefer certain quote unquote gifts above another. You have whole denominations, and almost all you will hear them speak of or talk about or perform in a service is the gift of healing, You have others that you hear very little about Jesus. You hear very little about love. You hear very little about any of that. It's just a lot of speaking in tongues. That is way, way, way off base according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And Paul had much to say about these gifts. And I will deal with, and we just read what God had to say about these gifts. You say, do you believe in speaking in tongues? I'll get to that. I absolutely believe in speaking in tongues. I'm speaking in tongues right now. That's right. I don't want anybody to leave here confused this evening. Please understand me. When the Bible refers to and talks about speaking in tongues, when they got up and preached at Pentecost, when Peter preached at Pentecost and thousands were saved, they were all different sects and all different languages and people who spoke different languages. I'm sure they wasn't Chinese-speaking people and Japanese-speaking people and English-speaking people, but they were very many languages represented there. And when Peter got up to preach, or when one of the disciples would get up to preach in the power of the Holy Ghost, he would get up and speak in his known native tongue, and they would all hear in their native tongue. That is a gift. That is a miracle. But all this tongue flapping and all that it has folded into and fallen into and been perverted into what we hear of and think of in today when you hear of speaking in tongues is nothing of what the Word of God speaks of. As a matter of fact, Paul said it's better to speak one word known than a thousand unknown. Amen. And there's much to say. That's not the message tonight, but I wanted to address that before we got started. And I will say more about that, because as Baptist people, we should never shy away from what we believe and let somebody else, because they're dogmatic. Do you know somebody can be dogmatic about their doctrine and be dogmatically wrong? A Muslim is pretty dogmatic about what he believes. So much so that they will get on, they believe that if they die for the cause, if they die for Allah and they become a martyr, that they will get to go and have 72 virgins. I'd say if they're willing to lose their life as a martyr, they believe what they believe, but it don't make it truth. And so just because somebody says they've experienced something or they were taught something and believed it their whole life, listen to me, that does not make it so. You know what makes it so? The Word of God in context. Amen. And so I want to preach on the subject, as I mentioned, what matters most? Is it prophesying? No. Is it speaking in tongues? No. God said through the penmanship of Paul, and he emphasized to the believer, to the church, to me and to you, to those who have been born again, what matters most. And I believe it's what we fail at miserably. It's what I fail at miserably as a Christian. I believe if we can grab hold of this truth, it could absolutely bring revival to our church. It could absolutely bring revival to our homes. Amen. You know what people in the world are looking for? Not another church that's just like every other church. You know what people in the world, lost people, are looking for? They're looking for something genuine, something that is real, and that is a believer who is in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and who lives out that love and allows Christ's love to live through them and touch the lives of other people. Amen. It should never be named among the church. It shouldn't be a church's testimony that they bicker and gripe and fuss and complain. And sadly, that's the testimony of most churches. Because all them people do is down there is talk and gripe and complain and fuss about the little things. Listen, that ought to never be named once about our church. Our church should be known as a church that loves God and loves people. Amen. Amen. And that's what matters most. He said in verse number 13, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And so God, wouldn't you say, has been good to his people? Wouldn't you say God's been good to you? I promise you, whether you know it or not, he's been good to you. Your life may not be perfect, mine ain't. We all have issues, we all have problems, but I promise you God has been good to us. Way better to us than we deserve. Think about it. Just think about it. He has provided salvation to you. He has saved the vilest of sinners. God's been good to you. He loved you. He didn't ask you to do something. He didn't ask me to do something that he didn't first do himself, and that is love. Matter of fact, the Bible said that God is love. Amen. And so he has given us so many precious, precious promises in his word, and he stands by every one of them. When a person comes to Jesus for salvation, the Holy Spirit gives that person spiritual gifts so that God might use you and use me for his glory and in his kingdom to accomplish his will and to carry out his work. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 7 says this. The Bible said in the previous chapter, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." When you got saved, God gave you the spiritual gifts that you need to accomplish everything God intended for you to do. Amen. And so all the gifts serve to edify the body and to glorify the Lord. We each have a, you say, "Well, I just don't have a gift." When God was passing out gifts, he skipped over me. That's not true. You may not can prophesy. You may not, and I hope you don't, speak in tongues. You may not can teach or have the gift of teaching or singing or preaching. But I promise you this, God give you the gift of love. Everybody, every believer can love everyone. And that's the greatest of all. And yet, it's probably the most neglected of all. And I'll prove that from the Word of God. And that's why he's addressing this, because the people at the church at Corinth, they were seeking these glittering gifts. They were seeking these gifts that seemed like some kind of majestical thing when in reality, God was saying through Paul, Quit seeking these high things. Quit looking for the lofty, glittering, glowing things. And understand, the greatest of all gifts is the gift of love. It has more impact. It has more influence. It can change more lives than any gift God ever gave. Is the gift of love. And so they all the gifts serve to edify the body and to glorify the Lord. And we each have been given a special and unique gift by the Holy Spirit. Some gifts like tongues and healings have been blown way out of proportion, as I mentioned. Other gifts, like the gifts of helps. Do you know that was a gift? You say, "I can't sing." Join the club. And if you can't, don't. Use the gift of helps and don't sing. You'll help us. Drives me crazy. I know God didn't call me to sing. I'm like, "Well, sit down and let somebody that he did." But there's gifts of giving. There's gifts of helps. And where some gifts have been blown way out of proportion and overdone, these other gifts have been given way too little attention and looked over and hardly mentioned. When's the last time you heard a preacher or a teacher stand up and teach a lesson or preach a message on the gifts of helps? We need a church full of people who are willing to take the gift that God give you, and that is simply just being a person willing to help. You know what makes a good church? You know what makes an impact? You know what leaves a lasting impression in somebody's mind, a visitor who comes in, is when somebody meets them at the door and they can't even get to their pew before five or six people says, there's a need, there's a person, and I want to be a help to them, I want to be a blessing to them, and I want to let that person know that if they never come back, they can't say that they didn't come to this church and that they wasn't received gladly and loved on and helped. We can all help. And that flows out of the gift of love. And so, the greatest and the most essential gift that God gave His church, the gift that contains the most divine power of them all, is the gift of love, working in us and through us by the Lord. His love was placed within us when we were saved by His grace. So you don't have to pray about whether or not you have the gift of love. Everybody that saved got that gift. He imparted that to you the moment you said yes to Jesus. The very moment that you said, Lord, come into my heart and save me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. Forgive me, God. Save me, Lord. When that happened, when that transaction was made, when He imputed His righteousness into your bank account and took all your sins and put it in on Him. Listen, the Bible said, He who knew no sin became sin for He took all of that was in your account and all the sin that was in my account, and He put it in His account, and He took our shame and He took our hell, and in its place He imputed His righteousness, and at that moment He gave you the gift and gave me the gift of love. Amen. Romans 5:5 said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. His love working in us and displayed one to another is the greatest testimony we have to a lost and dying world. People want to be loved. There's enough hate. If you hadn't noticed, there's enough hate in this world, and it seems like it gets more wicked and more dark and more demonic by the day. And this world needs people. And the Bible says that we ought to so let our light shine before men. Listen, people need to be loved. We don't have to have great programs. I'm not against them. We don't have to have all kind of glittery things and all kind of fluorescent lights and smoke machines and rock and roll. But we don't have to have all that to fill a church up. You know what we need? We need a church full of people who love Jesus and who are willing to love the world. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus did. The Bible said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. When we walk in love one for another, we are walking in obedience to the Lord. John 13:34 said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And I've been talking a lot about the world and how the world needs to have a church and to be able to experience a church that truly exhibits and is willing to give and to show the love of Christ. But so does the church. You know what we need? You know how to strengthen our church? You know how to help our church more than anything else? Way more than money in an offering plate, way more than nice buildings, way more than our church growing. You know how to help our church and strengthen it? I mean to the core, and build a church that will last and that will endure. It's a church that loves one another. We need that. Amen, we need that. Listen to what 1 John 3:14 said. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. One of the problems as the church at Corinth was that they were manifesting nearly every spiritual gift in existence, but they were not walking in love one toward another. And that was the whole point of what Paul was writing. And sadly, it wasn't just the church at Corinth. God knew there'd be churches scattered all down through the annals of time who would face and deal with the same problem that the church at Corinth had. The Corinthians loved the flashy gifts. They loved tongues, prophecy, the other gifts that made them look spiritual in the eyes of others. Boy, ain't that what people want? They want them things that will turn an eye. People want them gifts that will grab the attention of others and will lift them up on a pedestal and make them look good. But listen to me, if you want to really grab somebody's attention, then learn to love. Learn to allow God to love people through you, and it won't just be a quick glance. Somebody, because as soon as the glitter's gone, as soon as the glow's gone, people that was looking at you, they will look to somebody else to see a glitter somewhere else. But if they see and feel and experience love, they will not, they won't just glance at you. They will learn to look at you and love you back forever. Love lasts. Amen. God was more interested in them coming to the place where they loved one another like He loved them. Chapters 12 through 14 were written to combat the problems that existed in Corinth related to the spiritual gifts and their usage in the church. While we think of these chapters as standalone chapters, they really should be read together. You do know that, listen, I ain't trying to confuse you, and everybody probably knows this, but I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God. There's no error in it. I believe it from cover to cover. Amen? However, the chapters and the verses are not inspired. They were added way later. God didn't inspire chapters and verses. And so sometimes when we, now don't get me wrong, I thank the Lord for chapters and verses. It helps me keep up with it and find out where they're at, stuff like that. But a lot of times you can just read through there and look where a verse stops. The same thought continues on to the next verse. And so it ain't like you can just go by the verse. And these chapters all go together, chapters 12 through 14. And while we think they stand alone, they're not. Chapters 12 talks about the spiritual gifts and how they're given to us and why they are beneficial to the whole body of Christ. Chapter 12 also speaks about how the body of Christ is strengthened and blessed when individuals use the gifts that they have been given by the Lord. Chapter 14 deals with the... Somebody's alarm's going off. Hey, Jerry, go out there and see if somebody's breaking in a car. He's standing there for a reason. I'm going to put him to work. All right, I'm just kidding. Chapters 14 deals with the misuse of the sign gifts like tongues and healing. Contrary to popular belief, chapter 14 does not encourage the use of tongues. It actually discourages the use of tongues and calls the church of Corinth to deeper maturity in their walk with the Lord. In the middle of chapter 13, it follows on the heels of chapter 12, which closes with this statement in verse 31. Listen to it. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What it's basically saying is you're coveting the best gifts, but I'm showing you a much better way. Matter of fact, I'm showing you the best way. Chapter 13 talks about what matters most. Not speaking in tongues, not prophesying, but love. And that sounds so basic and elementary, and some might even say, man, this is boring. If we could grasp it and grab hold of it, it ain't boring at all. I doubt any of us have perfected the gift of love. What matters most is not whether you possess some big, in the eyes of men, gift or not. What matters most is not how smart you are, how much you tithe, what position you hold. What matters most is not how wealthy, how popular, how famous, or how well-liked you are. What matters most is how well you love. That's what matters most. The passage is all about what matters most. And so that's the introduction. Number one, as we look at what matters most, number one, I want us to understand and look at love's distinction. Love's distinction, verses 1 through 3. Let's read it again. The Bible said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so let's look at love's distinction. Love's distinction. The whole idea of these verses is that love is distinct from and superior to anything else that we can be or do. Love is distinctive. Regardless of what we do, if it is not infused with love and carried out through love, the love of God, not man-made love. Listen, not a love that's fabricated, but the love of God. Everything we do, coming to church should be done with the love of God. Giving our tithes, the Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, that our giving should be infused with the love of God. Our serving should be infused with the love of God. Our witnessing should be infused with the love of God. Our speech should be seasoned with the love of God. Our teaching and our preaching. Listen, I've heard preachers in my life, and used to, sadly, I fell into the ditch. I went from one ditch to the other. The pendulum swung too much, and I got mad at a certain group of and denomination of people, and went from this ditch. And I heard some preachers who was preaching the right Bible, and boy, I said, man, that's right. And the next thing I knew, these preachers was getting up and preaching truth, but they was doing it in such a mean, arrogant, prideful, I mean just angry way. Had no love to it whatsoever. You know, you can say the right thing without love and it be meaningless. And so I'm saying everything we do should be seasoned and infused with love. Regardless of what we do, if it's not enveloped with love and carried out through the love of God, it's a colossal waste of time. I want every one of us to get that statement. I don't want to get to... How many of you, just simply put, how many of you want to get to heaven and stand before God at the judgment and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I do. I don't want to live my life. And I mean, live my life trying to be a Christian and live my life trying to serve the Lord and live my life reading my Bible and praying and witnessing and preaching and giving and get to heaven and God say, everything that you've done, all the years I give you, all the time I give you, all the gifts I give you, it's burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. Enter in, but you enter in with nothing. No gifts, no crowns. It was all a waste. What a tragedy. But what a reality. Because everything we do for the Lord that's not done in love will be burnt as wood, hay, and stubble. That's the truth. That ought to help our pride problem, by the way. Like, I'm a pretty good old boy. I'm a pretty good Christian. I read my Bible every day. I'm there every time the doors are open. I hesitate. I'm gonna tell on one of our deacons. He sent me a text and said, "You're setting a pretty bad example, preacher, laying out of church." Ain't that right, Brother Jim? He was kidding with me. He went on to tell me he was kidding with me. But listen. Wouldn't it be terrible to do everything right and not do it with the right gift and with the right root, which is love? And it be absolutely useless and a waste. That's horrifying. Giving out gospel tracts, it can still accomplish its goal. People can still get saved. But if we don't do it with love, we're not receiving any reward for it. If we're coming to church to do God a favor, God ain't counting that as being faithful. If we're doing it to check off, if we're reading our Bible to check off the list or doing our 5 minutes of praying because we know we're supposed to. And listen, I know I'm made out of the same flesh you are. It ain't always you jump up and say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, and I love you, Lord," and every moment of the day and every... It ain't like that. I battle the same flesh you do, but I'm saying we should get it deep, deep down in our minds and deep down in our hearts that my motivating, driving point should be love. I shouldn't do it because I have to. I shouldn't do it because I was told to. I should do it because I love Him, and because I love Him, I love what... I just read the verse, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Amen. That's so easy said and so hard done. But it ought to help us all to check our motives and check the gift God's given us and make sure we ain't just living the life because we know we're supposed to and live it right because God gifted it to us in love. Amen. It's so, so simple that we can trip over it. And I'm sad in my heart at how much I've wasted. How many messages have I preached that are in vain? Because it wasn't done out of love. How many tracts I've given out just because I suppose... How many tithing envelopes have I filled out? How much money have I given to missions because I was supposed to, not because I loved God and love the people who is going to get the gospel? Our motive matters, and it's got to be rooted in love, or you might as well not give it. That's hard preaching. People say, "Oh, boy, he's a hard preacher," and I was just talking about some of them hard preachers. I'm old enough to know, Brother Dennis, if I was to call the name, you'd know some of them I'm talking about. I know some preachers that used to preach against that one-eyed monster at TV. They'd tell you you're going to hell if you watch the TV. Brother Jeff, I've lived long enough for them same preachers who called him the one-eyed monster to now preach on TV and beg you to send money to help them with their television ministry. And I'm like, what changed? What matters most? So love's distinction. Love is higher than goodness. Love is higher than sensational. Verse 1 deals with, you may be a great speaker, but that is no substitute for love. No matter how great of an orator you are, how beautiful your speech is, how beautiful you can sing or play an instrument, how brilliant your rhetoric is, without love, you are simply a clanging cymbal. That's what verse 1 said. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. No matter what you say, or no matter how you say it, or how accurate you say it, without love, it's just noise. And truly, without love, talk is cheap. A great orator can move a person's emotions. Great rhetoric can move a person's mind. A great speech can move a person's will, but only great love can move a person's heart. An orator can move one to tears, but only love can move one to Jesus. The bottom line is this. These were the same instruments used in heathen worship. I'm talking about the cymbal. Therefore, the person who exercises tongue in spiritual fashion yet does not do so with the love of God in him, that person is no better than a heathen worshiper. In fact, his worship is man-centered and not God-centered. So we see that love is higher than sensational. Then love is higher than spectacular. Verse 2, this verse mentions several spectacular abilities. But even if a person was able to do all these things and he did not have the love of God in his heart, he was nothing. Listen to what verse 2 said again. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and not have charity, I am nothing. So not only is love sensational, higher than sensational and higher than spectacular, but love is higher than sacrificial. Look at verse 3 and we'll be done this evening. True love, the gift of love is higher than sacrificial. And you think, well, if I'm willing to sacrifice, then that's love. I mean, the Bible says greater love is no man than a man lay down his life. I mean, if somebody's willing to lay down their life, we just celebrated Memorial Day where men was willing to give their life and shed their blood for this country. And that is a sense of loyalty and a debt of gratitude we owe every one of them people. But listen what God says. Listen what God said in verse 3. He said, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. You seen these commercials where they show these starving babies in Africa? And it pulls at your heartstrings and you feel terrible. And you want to feed them babies and you want to help them. But the truth is, you can't help the whole world. But even if you could send some money, and even if you did send money, if you didn't do it out of a heart of love, if you done it just to make you feel better, It's the wrong motive, and it might have got him a meal, but it didn't help you any. And he goes on to say, though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give, listen, I'm talking about sacrificial. Love's higher than sacrificial. Listen to this, it's amazing. And though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We can give away everything we own and it be meaningless. That's why, listen, that's why you better when offerings are taken up, and I'm sincere about this, you better know that it's the Lord telling you to give, because it could just be you giving your good stuff, your hard-earned stuff away to make you feel good, and you ain't going to get no reward from God for it. Let the Lord lead you, and if the Lord leads you, you better give it. And when you do, listen, when you do, not only will the person be blessed, but you'll be blessed. We can give up our own bodies on the altar of martyrdom, but if we do so without love in our hearts, it's a waste of time, and it does not profit us one bit. The emphasis is clear in verses 1 through 3. When love is absent, the Christian is no better than the heathen. Verse 1, he is nothing. Verse 2, he can expect nothing. And verse 3, regardless of what others may think of us, our abilities, our gifts, without love, it is all a spectacular waste of time. That's love's distinction. Next Wednesday, we'll look at love's description. And it goes, verses 4 through 12, goes and describes exactly what love is and how we can show it and exhibit and be an example of it to other people. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray you take the word of God tonight, Lord, and God, you have convicted my heart, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be way more careful, God, about my motives. God, not just, Lord, help me to focus, Lord, not just on what to do and what not to do, but why I'm doing what I'm doing. And what, oh, God, I pray you'd help me, Lord, and help these, God. Lord, I pray you'd give us a church, Lord, that has the love of Christ, Lord, in a way that people could experience it and feel it, God. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to search the Scriptures, God, to look into the mirror of the Word of God, God, to check our motives, God, to see if we're being sincere, God. God, and what we're doing and why we're doing it, God, and I'll thank you, Lord. Bless every family, Lord, tonight. I pray you'd touch every home, every heart, God. Bless your children. Lord, if anybody in this world, God, needs to see the true love of God, it's our children. Lord, not just here at the house of God, but at our house, Lord. God, help me, Lord. God, that my children, my wife, would see the love of Christ in me. God, we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.